friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 4th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Malian basketball player Adama Sanogo and the University of Connecticut Huskies, who on Monday night were crowned the National Collegiate Athletic Association champions. Sanogo was named the most outstanding player of the NCAA's Final Four, and he was certainly outstanding in the final between UConn and San Diego State. The 21-year-old big man from Bamako scored 17 points and grabbed 10 rebounds. A crowd of more than 72,000 attended the men's basketball championship game at the NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas. Joining us now from Houston with more details is the AP's Adam Spillane.
Tristan Newton's 19 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 assists helped the Connecticut Huskies to a 5th national championship in program history with a 76-59 win over San Diego State. Newton shot 5 of 11 from the field, but he made all 8 of his free throws.
The vision we had when I came here was to win a national championship, make it to the Final Four and win a national championship. And I came here just to do it, and just real blessed and thankful for these guys around me.
Adama Sanogo added 17 points and 10 rebounds for the Huskies, while Jordan Hawkins scored 16 points and hit a key three-pointer that started UConn's 16-4 run to end the game. Adam Spillane, Houston.
Thanks, Adam. UConn's head coach, Dan Hurley, talks about lifting the trophy.
This was our vision. This was our dream. This is what we talked about when we recruited these guys, that we could get together and do something big like this. And it's just great to come through on promises made to players and to this university.
That's Dan Hurley, the head coach of the University of Connecticut men's basketball team. The Huskies of Connecticut on Monday night won their 5th National Collegiate Athletic Association title.
This is Colonel Sam Amedu, retired President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, my Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports.
Voice of America!
The Voice of America is once again a proud broadcasting partner of the Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, which resumes its 2023 schedule on April 26th when Nile Conference games tip off in Cairo, Egypt. How can camps and foundations key into the BAL in terms of developing local talent? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the founder and president of the Port Harcourt-based SBM Foundation, Swalatum Bob Manuel, a.k.a. Soso.
First off, kudos to the organizers of the BAL. They're making us believe that we too can be part of the NBA dream, which is what a lot of us want. Now, you ask the question, how can these foundations key in? A typical example is a foundation like mine, We're there. We've been there for about 6 years. We have those of Fubara Oyanabo, who's been there for quite a while, about 13, 14 years now, who are doing things. How do we get our players down to Senegal? How do we get them scouted? Let me say this. First off, there has to be a structure in place. Without any structure, there'll be no way to get these kids. If we had like a system where we could get under 13, under 14, or even under 16 tournaments, first off, in the different regions in Nigeria. Now, starting from Nigeria, because you talked about Africa. If we have a couple of kids that we can bring every year, we say, okay, Fubara's Foundation, my foundation, Manoye, a couple of others, Tony in Bielsa, Frank John in Calabar, a couple of us come together and get the kids that we normally train together. And we have ours. We'll do a regional. Now, the region can be south-south, south-east, then we go over west like that. But at the end of the day, you find out that you will get the best players. Because what you're doing per time is documenting. You're documenting these players as you go. But the truth is this, NBA will not just come and see a kid on the road and say, we want you, come and play, even if you're a superstar. There are structures to this. That is why we have to find a way to put that structure in place.
Now, assuming that the structure has been put in place, how will the organizers of the Basketball Africa League and indeed the NBA key in to tap from the structures or to tap from the products of this structure you've talked about?
I like the word you use, product. What is a product? Something that is finished, right? Now, for every level, we know that there must be standout performance. If you bring, let's say, the first from all the academies put together, from the competitions, from the camps we do, let's say, it doesn't have to be very long. A one-week camp and a one-week competition, whether you like it or not, the kids will stand out. Now, all you need to do is document those kids that stand out. You can decide that for every region, like I said before, we have 5 to 10 kids that are going to be scouted. That's enough for you. By the end of the day, you divide Nigeria into how many, let's say 6 or 8. You have, let's do off the top of my head, 10 times 8. You have like 80 kids, 80 of the top players at the different level. That's a start. You don't need to go too far. So now those kids that don't make it know that next year I have the opportunity of making it. Now, BAL, a.k.a. NBA Africa, NBA in Africa, will not be too far again. Because that's the truth about it. If we don't bring back the love of sports into it, we won't have the best players. And that's just the truth. The best players are not the ones that we're seeing right now. There are a lot of kids that are playing it, that they are playing it because a lot of people told them they are tall. And that's what we don't want.
The Basketball Africa League is in its third season now. It's on now. The Sahara Conference has just ended. The Nile Conference will soon tip off in April in Egypt. For future seasons of the Basketball Africa League, do you, as a coach who grooms talents, young basketball players, do you, as a coach, think that one day or in future, or for the future seasons of the Basketball Africa League, see some of these players playing in the Basketball Africa League?
Yes, definitely. But the thing is, starting from where we are now, the road seems like it's very far. But good thing, whenever I talk to these kids, because in my foundation, every Saturday morning, we have a mentorship session. I always tell them, aim for the highest. Where's the highest? The NBA. So now, if you aim for the highest, and even if you don't get there, they say if you reach for the stars, you don't get, you land on cloud. What is the next best thing in Africa? The BAL. Now, I'm saying this because there's a friend of mine, the Detail Academy. One of his kids, Abbas, he went there. He's in Senegal right now. He played for U.S. Monastir. Hmm. Yes, in the Sahara. Yes, he's there. And that's a typical example. So if someone like him can do it, there's no reason why one of these kids from here can't do it. But like I said before, if there's no structure in place, because the simple thing is this, I know that, first off, if you remember the last couple of seasons they had the BAL, it was just in one venue. Now they're extending the venues because they want to see how they can stretch it and they want to do more. So my take is this, if they can by themselves decide that, how can we bring all these other academies? Because there are a lot of academies, there are a lot of foundations, people that are into sports. If we want to stretch a lending hand, it's a simple thing. Like I said before, we create the structure, have our regionals. From the regionals, we go to the next level. And now it's not just to pick teams. Remember, we're picking the best of the best players. You have like a combine, you have like a camp, you have a couple of pickup games. The coaches, all they are there to do is scout. This is what we're looking for. And they make sure that, look, you don't make it this year, we can call on you and tell you, look, work on this, and come back. We'll be there for you. Because let's face the fact that everything here we're doing in Africa, those of us that are into sports, is to get to the next level. Where's the next level? Used to be the NBA, used to be college, high school. But the next best thing we have now is BAL, and we also have NBA Africa in Senegal. Whether you like it or not, basketball has grown in leaps and bounds just by Senegal being the headquarters of NBA Africa. Imagine if we could have that. I know they can't have it in all the countries in Africa, but imagine if they could have that in 7 or 8 different places. Imagine what it would do to our basketball.
That's Walatum Bob Manuel, the founder and president of the SBM Foundation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Port Harcourt, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Swalatom Bob Manuel, a.k.a. Soso, the founder and the president of the SBM Foundation, a youth mentorship and sports development foundation based in Port Harcourt, Nigeria. You are listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Soso. And thanks also to Iron Mike Mbonye for that interview. From Port Harcourt, let's go to Accra, where NBA Africa recently hosted the first all-girls junior NBA clinic in Ghana. The event featured a basketball clinic, and among those taking part in the drills was Douglas Emhoff, the second gentleman of the United States and the husband of U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature presentation, Yawafusu Larbi tells us more. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. The visits of the Vice President of the United States to Ghana coincided with a junior NBA clinic organized by the Basketball Africa League, the WNBA, and the NBA. The clinic was set up to give young girls the opportunity to sharpen their basketball skills and strengthen the representation of women in the sports. In all, there were about 70 girls who participated in the camp. The second gentleman of the United States, Douglas Emhoff, was the main guest of the event, engaging in drills with the young girls. He stated that gender discrimination should not be tolerated and women should be encouraged to engage in sports like basketball.
We know that when we lift up young girls and women in sports, we bolster their confidence, we bolster self-esteem, and sports provides courage that you'll need to take on the challenges of this world and to have that belief in yourself that you can do anything. You can do anything that you set your mind to. So I want every young girl out there to know this. We believe in you. You can do anything you want in this world. And you can get out there, whether it's on a court, whether it's on a field, and you can play the game just like anyone else. You can do it. So I want you to think about it right here. Imagine yourself as a future Olympian. Imagine yourself one day leading a team to a national championship. Or maybe you'll be a sports broadcaster. Who knows? You can do it if you set your mind to it.
CEO of Basketball Africa, Victor Williams, Ghana's Minister of Youth and Sports, Mustafa Yusuf, 2003 WNBA champion Astu Ndiaye Diatta, and film director Spike Lee were all in attendance. Victor Williams highlighted the increased focus in providing equitable opportunities for both genders to compete in the WNBA and the NBA.
We believe that every young person in Africa has the potential to reach to fulfill their talents in basketball. And so what we want to do, and part of our strategy, is to make that opportunity as widely accessible as possible. We're very focused on making it accessible to girls, and that's why we're hosting this clinic, an all-girls junior NBA clinic in Ghana. And we believe that through partnership with the ministry and with other stakeholders to grow the game in schools, to grow it at the grassroots level, to support with infrastructure and equipment, that will lay the foundation for Ghanaian players to more regularly make it into the NBA, make it to the WNBA, for Ghanaian team to qualify for the BAL, and for Ghana to be represented in the top basketball competitions around the world.
Ghana has never competed at any international basketball tournament, largely due to a lack of infrastructure and not enough technical men to teach the game. Ghana's Sports Minister Mustafa Yusuf noted the need to strengthen the development of basketball at the grassroots level.
Government have shown commitment in ensuring that we invest heavily in all sports, not only basketball. For government, our scope is very widely. So I will urge that any time that there is such opportunity, they come to the ministry. Once the ministry is not aware about this, it becomes very difficult. But government will ensure that we give equitable distribution of our resources to all sports, including basketball. And that is why His Excellency is investing in getting a basketball infrastructure at Botima. As you know, we are organizing the next African Games. And one of the facilities that we are developing is the multipurpose hall that can host any international basketball tournament in the world.
As to Ndiaye Diatta, who won the WNBA title in 2003, was pleased with the initiative for females and hopes that this continues for years to come.
To be brief, it will be hope, because you're dealing hope to these ladies. We were dealt hope to get to this level. So just the fact that we are in this month and it's just them, just ladies, trying to get inspired, which is very important, but also to know that anything they want to do, they can do. I'm an example of it. And I was in the same benches as them, in the same with the same probably coaches. They were just Senegalese, but just chasing the same dreams. So if honestly, personally, I can do it, any of them could do it. That's the thing. But also the fact that we're talking education and sports. So it's very important that they know that both need to go together. And the fact that the NBA is holding, NBA Africa is holding this in Ghana here, is not random. It has, some of it is building on past camp that the Pops, Memsa Bonsu, and the other NBA player have done. And it's great, the momentum that the NBA Africa is having right now.
It was an inspiring basketball day in the heart of Accra. For the many girls who participated in the camp, they will live with the memory and the skills they learnt for years. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yalfo Sulabi in Accra.
Tell your friends about VOA Africa, music, sports, and news.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll delve into Tuesday's arraignment of former U.S. President Donald Trump. We'll also have an in-depth conversation with Annette Weber, special envoy of the European Union to the Horn of Africa, about the prospect for peace in Ethiopia's Tigray region. Join me, Vincent McCorry, on the next Straight Talk Africa, Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
The Men's Basketball Africa League, or BAL, recently concluded the Sahara Conference phase of its 2023 schedule in Dakar, Senegal. Four teams, Stade Malien of Mali, AS Douan of Senegal, Rwanda Energy Group, and ABC Fighters of Ivory Coast, qualified for the BAL playoffs in May in Kigali, Rwanda. What was the basketball quality like during the Sahara Conference in Dakar? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the co-founder of the Giants of Africa Foundation, Godwin Owinji.
It was a big success. The standard of play is going up. Basically went up from when you compare it to last year's. And the teams, you know, got really, really better. Just like the U.S. Monster team that won the whole thing last year. You know, they suffered some defeats in this region, you know, so that shows you that there is big improvement. The Ivory Coast team is very good. I believe the Ivory Coast team is very good. The Mali team is very good. The Rwandan team showed serious improvement. The Nigerian team, I don't know what kind of players they put together. But they're the only team that didn't win any game. But, you know, overall, the tournament was a success, and you can see the progression, the improvement was there, and everyone, you know, the crowd was very exciting, the facility was great, and this is just going to continue to, you know, to grow. We'll continue to grow. I believe four teams qualified. I think the Abidjan team qualified, the Senegalese team qualified, the Mali team qualified, and I think the Rwandan team qualified. So to answer your question in general, the quality of play, the standard of play, you know, has really gone up.
You were in Senegal for the Sahara Conference Games. Did you see talents or players that can make the NBA draft?
Yep, I went out there to scout some of the, you know, prospects out there. Mainly some of the academy, the NBA academy, young prospects that were placed on each of the teams. Some of the prospects played major minutes on their respective teams, and I think a few teams did not, you know, play these kids as much as they should have. But like I said, yeah, there are a couple of kids that I went out there to see that we already been looking at anyway, you know, as NBA prospects. So it was worth my while going out there, and I'm going to continue to follow those kids until, you know, they declare for the draft, and see how it goes, you know. We actually really have our eyes on the main kid that we really have our eyes on, you know, he got hurt during the All-Star weekend in Utah. But there are other prospects at the academy also that played in the Savannah Conference Bar League that just ended. So I went out there and, you know, looked at some of the players. So I'm not going to be going to the one in Egypt, the Nile Conference, but I'm definitely going to, you know, go to the final in Kigali, you know, to see some more, you know, younger prospects. Yeah, there were 8 young kids, young prospects that played in the Savannah Conference. And actually, there was one kid from Mali that is not at the academy that was really, really good, you know, that I had my eyes on. This just shows you that, you know, this is going to be a prevalent thing, you know, as the league grows, you know, in another 5, 6, 7 years from now. There's definitely going to be a lot of prospects in each of these teams that most NBA teams will be scrambling to, you know, to take a look at.
The Nile Conference of the Basketball Africa League will tip off in April. What are your expectations of the teams in the group?
I will not be going to the Bar Conference tournament, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be the same thing, you know, going to be a huge improvement from last year. And because, you know, teams, most of the teams, they've seen how big and how important this league is. So they tend to, you know, they do whatever they can to try to win it. So, or to try to qualify to go to Rwanda Kigali. So the product that they put on the floor has to be superior products with regards to last year, because everyone wants to qualify and go to Kigali and try to win the whole thing. So I'm pretty sure the talent on the floor is going to improve, just like the one in Senegal did, because the one in Senegal, you can tell a huge improvement from last year. And I believe the Nile Conference, you know, will be the same.
That's Godwin Owinji, the co-founder of the Giants of Africa Foundation. And Godwin spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from New York City. Now let's go to Namibia, where the German-supported Basketball Artists School has been helping to develop the sport while giving hope to at-risk youth. Beyond basketball, the program teaches life skills and offers after-school meals. Vita Angela reports from Windhoek, Namibia.
Manny Amukoshi helps coach at-risk boys and girls at the basketball artist school in Namibia. But the 24-year-old didn't start out as a coach.
I've joined the program as a rookie, as a beneficiary. After graduating my BAS foundation program, I joined as a contributor to give back as a contributor at BAS.
The school, which is supported by the government and funded by mostly German donors, has for more than a decade taught basketball and life skills to youths up to 21 years old. The life skills classes are centered on challenges the youth confront, such as conflict resolution in a healthy manner, the harmful effects of alcohol and drug abuse in the community, sexual and gender-based violence, and teenage pregnancy, and how it can be avoided. Former basketball player for the University of Namibia's Tomahawks, Malakia Matias, is program's coordinator. He says they also offer morning daycare for 5-year-olds and under, which includes meals, learning, and games.
And then after that, around 12 to 1 o'clock, we prepare ourselves to take our aftercare children and also the rookies. They immediately come in, they get fed, and then from there they have a meeting, and then after that is tutorials. After tutorials is sports, basketball training to be specific.
In Namibia, learners attend school from 7 in the morning till 1 o'clock, which makes the aftercare program very important to keep these boys and girls engaged during the afternoon. Tiffany Kwasis is a contributor to the program and gives after-school lessons to reinforce what the children learn at school. She also helps them with homework and to prepare for exams.
Remember when the plates move apart, like far away from each other, magma rises, right, and creates a new
volcano.
Okay, volcanoes can be formed.
German basketball expert Frank Albin founded the Basketball Artist School when he came to Namibia to assist Namibia's Basketball Federation with technical and skills development. The school has 5 staff and 15 volunteers, like Nelle Sophie Reinhardt from Germany.
Our rookies learn, for example, to play as a team, also to be, to always to want to reach their goals. They're here to also to improve, and they're learning how that they have to set themselves goals, and then they can reach them. So basketball is helping them to improve also, like, just for themselves as a person, but as a team also.
Programs coordinator Matthias says if it wasn't for the Basketball Artist School, most youth in the community would not have access to basketball or the meals, support, and life skills training the school provides. Vita Angula for VOA News, Windhoek, Namibia.
Thanks, Vita. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. In English Premier League football Monday, Everton and visiting Tottenham battled to a 1-1 draw at Goodison Park in Liverpool. It's being described as a feisty match that saw both teams finish with 10 men. Michael Keane made amends for conceding a penalty by scoring off a long-range thunderbolt, boom, in the 90th minute to earn Everton the draw. Now, some of Everton's fans jumped onto the field to celebrate Keane's dipping strike that took their team out of the relegation zone and stopped Tottenham from moving to third place. It was Tottenham's first match since the departure of Italian manager Antonio Conte. And that wraps up the April 4th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in.
I get it.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.